Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone. Well, Dancing with the Stars is one of the biggest hits on ABC. Tens of thousands of people watch that show every single Monday and Tuesday night live. And that's sort of what we're going to be talking about today. We've got a very, very nice young man who's going to be calling into the show, Eric. Eric is a professional dancer. He also works at one of the local television stations in Connecticut. I think he does a segment on there where he talks about dancing. So that's who we're going to talk to today. And I'm excited about talking to Eric because I met him on Facebook, and he's got a huge following. And he is someone that I guarantee you in the next 5 to 6 years, you will see him on a national stage because he's just that good. So on the show, that's who we're going to talk to today, and I'm excited about talking to Eric, so we're going to see if we can go ahead and get him on the line. Hi, Eric, are you there?
Hi, Victoria. Yes, I'm here.
Hey, darling, how are you?
It's great to hear your voice.
I know. I purposely never, ever, ever want to talk to people before I get on the air because I like to talk to you for the first time with all of the other viewers. So tell everybody a little bit about yourself, because I've got a ton of questions about your thoughts on Dancing with the Stars, but more importantly, all the women that have known that this show is coming up, they've got all these questions about fitness and does dancing really get you in shape. You tell us about yourself first.
Well, I just turned 23 a couple months ago, so I'm fairly new to the whole TV end of it. But I've been dancing for 20 years, and I've been doing ballroom and tap for pretty much all of that time. And now I am on the professional level, so I'm competing in all the professional competitions here in the Tri-State area, in New York, Massachusetts, and Connecticut, and a lot of national ones as well. So, and I also teach at where I attend school, Quinnipiac University. I started the ballroom club there. Quinnipiac never had a ballroom program, and now they actually devised a course where students could get credit to take ballroom dancing.
Awesome.
So it's been a huge it's been a huge hit. Yeah.
Yeah, and my next question was with that. I'm sure you haven't had any problems with students signing up for that.
No, not at all. I did a big demonstration about 3 years ago when I started, and I invited the entire university to come and watch. And after they had seen just the basic steps, you know, they realized they can do it too. It's not just something that you cannot do. Everything starts with the basics, and then it goes on from there, and that's something that we could talk about in regards to Dancing with the Stars.
Right. Now, speaking of Dancing with the Stars, just overall, what are your general thoughts about that, and also what has it done to the ballroom dancing and just the professional dancing community in America?
Well, I think the show itself is phenomenal because it really opened the doors for many people out there who have been taking ballroom dance lessons, and it's really opened the eyes to others who never really knew about the dancing or knew of it. But, you know, in my opinion, ballroom dancing had always been a little secret society, and it was something very elegant that people had done, but it was always very quiet. You never really heard too much about it unless you watched on a local, you know, cable station, a competition, but other than that, there really wasn't much public awareness of it. And then since the show started, I can't tell you how many people are just so familiar with all of the dances that are out there now. So it has really made everyone aware of the dancing and just the beautiful art of this particular dance sport.
Yeah, I do agree with you. But and also, Eric, one thing that I noticed, and I'm sure our listeners and folks that follow me will probably attest to as well, once Dancing with the Stars came out, it seemed like every single network tried to do their own version of some type of dancing show. So
yeah.
I know on, for example, like on TLC and Bravo, maybe not Bravo, I think it's TLC, they have this sort of dancing show where they follow some of the kids, and the kids are in rehearsal, and then they go to competition, and then you have that big dancing show on Fox. So I was very happy to see that when Dancing with the Stars came out, that it was so popular and that this was something that people wanted to see, especially the American public, that they actually came out with a whole slew of dancing shows.
Right, right. Yeah.
And I just think that's wonderful.
It is. It's great because not only has Dancing with the Stars, like you had mentioned, just done something for their own network, but also other networks are picking up their own version of, you know, dancing shows. So, you know, you see a lot of hip-hop out there, so and they're incorporating Latin dancing, which is great.
Speaking of that, I'm just thinking about a very good friend of mine named Simone, who is a co-host with me. She does a lot of my craft shows. She had put a posting on her status on Facebook, and she talked about Zumba. And I think even fitness, you know, the crossover has come from dancing, because now, you know, you see all these infomercials on television, Eric, and it's about, you know, Zumba and this and that, and also getting a good workout. So even another industry seems like that they have also picked up on the popularity of that as well.
Yeah, so many things have branched off of it. On Connecticut Style, Desiree Fontaine is the host up here in Connecticut. It's in our New Haven market. And when I go on and co-host with her the Dance Party Friday segments, last week I had taught a Latin cardio class, and I had used movements that you would learn in a dance studio in regards to ballroom dancing, and I incorporate them in a high-energy exercise. So I was able to pull those very distinct movements to work on your core, which is so important when you're dancing.
Exactly. And I have to say, a while ago, I did take that Zumba class, and sweetie, let me tell you, what was funny about that class were most of the moves, I picked them up very quickly because I'm just good at dancing, but I have to tell you, I was so surprised at how exhausted I was when I was done with that class. But not only, you know, being exhausted, I was working parts of my body that Eric, I had no clue that my back and my side could hurt like that in my whole life. It just never occurred to me that even my fingertips and toes could hurt.
Right.
But
and
it was a really good workout.
It is. It's great. And it's movements that you could even use when you're in your kitchen, you know, and you're stirring that pot of soup. You can. I tell people that all the time, our viewers, especially at home. Many of them, you know, are sitting in their living rooms watching, or they're at their office, and sometimes they can't figure out what sort of exercise they can do. And so I try to really break down the basics and say, you know, when you're at your stove stirring that soup, you can get your feet moving and twisting your stomach at the same time. So it's a two-for-one deal.
Yeah. That definitely sounds good, because I think also a lot of people, at least when, you know, I've done stories as a journalist and just have the opportunity to be out there and talk to people, a lot of women especially always feel sort of intimidated when it comes to fitness because they really don't know where to start. And I always tell people, you know, just to kind of start off, what doctors tell you, very basic. Find something that you like, and then perhaps try to build on it from there. So while you're at home, you know, sitting down watching Dances with the Stars, you know, you may be able to sit there and do some of the exercises and enjoy the program at the same time.
Mm-hmm. And even if you just take 20 minutes out of your day, sometimes it's hard these days because we don't always focus on ourselves and we're all, you know, running about our business, but it's vital for everyone to at least take 20 minutes out of their day, whether it's waking up an extra 20 minutes earlier to, you know, be able to stretch your body and really relax that mind and, you know, to that soul, because with, you know, any type of exercise, you want to do something that you enjoy the most. And in my opinion, what's better than doing exercise to music? You know, I know that always pumps me up in the morning.
Sure. Yeah.
And music that you like.
I think with my exercise routine, I'm really kind of getting back into it. I'm the type of person that if I think about it, you know, I'm like, oh, gosh, I don't really feel like doing this. But once I actually do it, I feel so good after I'm done. I mean, I just feel great. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's like
and
this
you're ready
natural
to take
high.
On the day. Yeah.
Yeah, very much so. I mean, I just, you know, I kind of feel like I can do anything. And even if that means going out and, you know, walking my dog for 35 or 40 minutes and she getting exercise too, or just doing something in the house or over at the gym or something, I just, you know, I feel so good. But I also feel very proud of myself for actually doing it, because you really feel like you've accomplished something.
Exactly. Exactly. And you're doing it for yourself, which
is
so important.
So getting back to this whole dancing thing, and if you are just joining us right now, I want to thank you so much for being here. You are listening to At Home with Victoria. Eric is on the line with us right now. Eric is a professional dancer in Connecticut, so that's who we're talking to right now. Eric, talk about men in dancing, and you said you started about 20-some years ago. Is it mm-hmm. is it still a stigma there for men in dancing, or do you think because of Dancing with the Stars that a lot of that is starting to go away?
A lot of it's going away, and that's another great part of the show. It's that, you know, it really showcases the dancing and the individual. So I think men now are more inspired because they see that, you know, a guy who can dance can also get a lot of ladies. Ladies like men who can dance. So, you know, and a lot of guys take it for, you know, what we just talked about, the exercise purpose of it. So now everyone has a very divine reason for wanting to take lessons. I also teach at Let's Dance in Rhythm. It's at Ballroom Studio in Brantford, Connecticut. And I cannot tell you the major response the studio itself has received just from the show, and just guys who just want to come in and do the basics off the steps so they could go out to a nightclub and social dance. It's a big social network, and it's great for people who are single because they come in, they learn to dance, and we've had many people get married out of our studio because that's where they met.
Serious?
Yeah. So it's great.
I'm
actually teaching a couple. They came in yesterday, and they're getting married June 25th, so they want me to choreograph their wedding song, and they've never really danced before.
Oh,
so
that's going to be nice. And you know what, also, speaking of this whole dancing thing, and I think a lot of it really started with the Dancing with the Stars, if you go on YouTube or if you're on any of the social networking sites, you and I both know there's a lot of people that will post videos of their wedding, and they really do focus on incorporating a real dance routine with their whole bridal party, whether it's to Michael Jackson or whoever it is,
in Thriller, that
wedding,
was a big hit.
And that becomes a highlight. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It truly is.
Yeah. I mean, and there again, you know, something like that, you know, it is just very, very exciting to actually see. So we've talked about you know, the stigma of
and
men.
Going back to that too, even on the college campus itself, when I started out in ballroom, I was always very close with my friends, but when they heard that, you know, I was doing ballroom dancing, they'd laugh. But now this was about 10 years ago, they realized that, you know, look what it can do. I think a whole maturity level comes into play sometimes, but that whole stigma, I think, is beginning to wash away because people are realizing what great benefits the dancing itself has.
Absolutely. I definitely agree with you, too. And also, and I've got to say this, I admire, you know, just you know, especially the men celebrities that go on Dancing with the Stars to do that, you know, to be some of these, you know, professional athletes and some of these guys that are in the boardrooms, to put themselves out there like that and, you know, to even wear, you know, some of the uniforms. And the uniforms that they wear, I will give whoever the costume designer is of Dancing with the Stars, it is always, in my opinion, with the men in pretty good taste.
Yeah, exactly. Especially when we look at a lot of the NFL players that have gone on there, like Chad, who's on the show, and he was a wide receiver for the Cincinnati Bengals. And, you know, he's not used to that kind of movement. You know, he's used to moving in a different way. So, and it's great because he represents a lot of the males out there. And he's a great representation for male athletes, and say, you know, hey, if I can do it, you can too.
Absolutely, and I follow, you know, just some of the blogs out there when it comes with Dancing with the Stars, and apparently there is no problem with the producers of that show trying to get men to come on that show. I mean, I think that after the first time, they said they had a little bit of, you know, hesitation of men wanting to do it, but they said now, you know, basically, you know, people are their publicists are basically calling the producers saying, hey, you know, can you get my guy on the on the show? So I would definitely agree with you that I think the whole stigma sort of men and, you know, that I really think that that's just like at zero now. I mean, no one really cares about that anymore.
Right, right. No, not at all.
Cares about
and it's
that
great.
Anymore. So talk about some of the competitions that, that you have won, and how do you prepare yourself for these competitions?
Well, and typically, I know of the competitions at least 3 months before I actually compete. So that gives me a good 8 to 9 solid weeks to really get routines together. And the practice is sort of rigorous for me because you're there at least 5 to 6 hours a day, 7 days a week. And if you want to be good and, you know, you want to be the best out there, you have to practice at least 4 hours, 4 to 5 days a week. So it's very important that, you know, the practice comes into play when it comes to competition. And I have a lot of dance coaches that fly in from all over. We're actually blessed to have a very good dance coach, Alex Scott, here in Connecticut, and he's just phenomenal with the theater arts aspect of it, and he'll come in on my lesson with my partner. One of my partners, she's actually serving in the National Guard, Kelvia Flores, so I haven't been able to compete with her lately because she left back in January, and I think she's listening, so I wanted to be sure that I gave her a shout-out. But we would rehearse for shows, and even just for a show versus competition, the practice is hardcore. I would go in the studio at 7 p.m. and sometimes leave the dance studio at 2 in the morning.
Wow! And all of that for sure takes take dedication. And talk about the mental part of it. I mean, when you're out there and you're doing your thing and you're doing that routine, what do you normally think about?
Well, it's funny because I'm so anxious. You know, in the ballroom competitions, the guy has his number on the back, and you're dressed in your costume, and, you know, your hair and makeup's done, you're ready to go out and perform. Just like, you know, when you sit on the news set, it's almost very similar. You're just, I'm always anxious. I'm never really nervous. I just want to go out there and, you know, just dance. And when I'm out on the competition floor, I am very aware of my surroundings, where the audience is, and where the judges are, because not only do I want to impress the judges, but I want to be able to make sure that I'm interactive with the audience as well. So mentally, you have to divide your thought process. You have to think about where you are on the floor into position as to where the other couples are dancing, you know, your fellow competitors, and where the judges are. And, you know, if there's a particular move in your choreography that you really want to showcase, you want to stand on a certain part of the floor where people can see it. The most important thing in competition is your timing. And each dance has a very specific timing. And in competition, you have to stay on time. And that's how they really place you into, you know, first, second, third, and so on. If you're off time, then, you know, unfortunately, you don't really qualify for the next round. You could have the most beautiful costume, you know, and the best routine out there, but if you're off time,
it doesn't mean anything.
No, nothing at all.
Yeah.
So, you know, you have all this going on in your head, you know.
And speaking of costumes, I hear that costumes can be quite expensive. Now, is there a certain place that you go and you have your costumes made for your shows, or...?
Yeah, there's a bunch of local places, but there is a woman here in Connecticut, and she does a lot of our Dancing with the Stars shows that we have here in New York, and she actually designs for a lot of people from all over the nation. Her name is Oksana, and she's out of Ledyard, Connecticut, and she makes the most incredible gowns and Latin shirts for guys. She does a lot of shows, TV, local TV shows for local celebrities that participate in Dancing with the Star affiliate shows to raise money. She'll design their gowns, and actually my coach, she just bought a gown, and you know, they could go up to, you know, $3,000 to $4,000, depending on the types of stones they put on and the fabrics they use. For guys, a tuxedo, a dance tuxedo, which is different from, you know, your traditional tuxedo, it can cost you a good competitive ballroom tuxedo will cost about $1,500. But, you know, you could buy them used. There's nothing wrong with that. No one can tell.
Right, right.
I've done that, and I've bought things new. So I've had new and used shirts cut up and put together because I wanted a certain look. So, you know, you just get creative with it. But like I said, you know, it's great, you know, to wear those costumes. But when it comes down to competition, especially in Dancing with the Stars, those judges are looking at your footwork and your timing. So although, you know, you may look like a billion bucks out there, you know, they're looking at your feet.
Right. Right. And speaking of the judges, Carrie Ann and Bruno and I can't think of the other Lynn. I can't think of the other one.
Yeah, Lynn Bestoff. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, Lynn. What are your thoughts on the judges?
I think the judging is fair. It has become more fair as the seasons have gone through the past several years. I remember watching the very first show and, you know, I just being a dancer and an instructor, I can pick up, you know, who's doing what. And, you know, I'll be sitting there with my mom, my grandmother, and my brother watching the show in the living room, and I'll say, oh, you know, he's off time with that, or her arm is too wobbly. And then you'll hear the judges say it. So they're always amazed at, you know, that I could pick up on it. But at the beginning, I think some of them came from different backgrounds. And I know Len may have had a more international style coaching. And in ballroom, there's several divisions that people compete in, which I think is important to mention for our viewers who are watching the show. There's American style, there's American rhythm, which is swing, cha-cha, salsa, and so forth. And then there's American smooth, which is waltz, tango, foxtrot. Then they have the international style, which is totally different basic steps from the American version. So there's a lot that our viewers are watching on the show, and now the judges are really pulling apart the steps and talking about them, which I think is vital because
absolutely.
You know, these competitors are going out, they're being thrown into a dance, they're learning it in 6 days, and like I said, they're practicing 7 to 8 hours a day, and they've never really done it before, so it's so important that they stay on target with whichever dance they're doing.
And one thing I can also say about Dancing with the Stars, which amazes me, is that from the time that you actually see these guys out there dancing, and it seems like until the time that the show is over, it seems like all of them, Eric, lose weight. You know, it just totally blows my mind. And I did see an article, I can't remember where I saw, but it was talking about how the costume person, they constantly, from the time that they begin to the time that they end, they're constantly having to change and redo their costumes for that very reason, that they're constantly losing weight as a result of dancing.
Yeah, it's something that as a competitive dancer you have to be very mindful of because, again, you don't want to, you know, get sick from it. Just from the competition that I've been doing, I was in the Tri-State Challenge competition 2 weeks ago in Stamford, Connecticut, and I have another one called Dancing a la Carte that's in Springfield, Massachusetts. And so as you're preparing, you're dancing a lot, you have to make sure that you're balancing out, you know, your weight and what you're eating and so forth. So it's one thing to be mindful of your weight, but, you know, I noticed in the past 2 weeks I've dropped 6 pounds. And,
wow.
You know, coming from an Italian family, my grandmothers are yelling at me that I need to eat. and I am. I'm eating like you can't believe. But it's just as soon as I eat it, it goes away because of all the,
right,
you know,
yeah,
the high cardio. You know, you're on your feet and you're jumping and jiving for 5 to 6 hours, you know, sometimes 4 or 5 times a week. So, yeah, I don't have to go to the gym.
Right. The gym is basically your work. Is kind of
exactly.
What you do. Yeah, that's exactly
and,
what it is.
You know,
now, we've only got about, believe it or not, 4 more minutes left on the show. I always tell people when they come on, the time goes by so fast. I do want you to get in. I know it does, right? But you'll come back and visit, I'm sure. But I do want you to get in there and talk about, although you are a professional dancer, and everybody learns a little bit at the top of the top of the hour about what you do. You also have this bug in you, which of course I love because I'm a television news anchor myself. You love news, mm-hmm. right?
I'm sorry?
Now, have you loved news? Have you loved television?
Oh my God.
Since you were a kid, tell us a little bit about that.
I started my passion in TV started at least when I was 6 years old. I'd always get in front of, you know, the camera when my dad would film when we were kids, and you know, pretend to do the weather forecast on the wall, or you know, make up a story about my aunt who's sitting in another room and report it. So, you know, now I wouldn't do that. But yeah, it started at the age of six, and I really got serious when I was a freshman in high school and contacted one of our local anchors up here, Denise DiCenzo, who's been my mentor all throughout the years that I've studied broadcasting, and now that I'm dabbing my feet in it here in the New Haven market and being able to dance on Connecticut Style and work at Q30 News, which is a student-run TV station. As well.
So this is awesome because this is awesome, and personally, this is one thing that I really, really liked about you, Eric, is that, you know, even in my television career, and I've been doing this for 16 years, and I have to tell you, so this is a good compliment to you. It's very rare that you actually find someone like you who really knows what they want to do, but not only are you going after, you know, being a news reporter, news anchor, you also have this passion for dancing. So I really, really see for you for the future, as you're doing a little bit of it now on the show Connecticut mm-hmm. Style, I think you're going to be able to really combine both of those and, you know, all these upcoming shows and stuff. I know you've got a manager and stuff, but I really see mm-hmm. you as somebody out there who will be able to do commentary, you know, for different
right.
shows as well. I really see you doing that too.
Yeah, it's nice to be able to wake up and smile in the morning and know that you are doing what you love to do and reporting news and informing people of what's going on, and to be able to, you know, make people smile by just your performance is something that I take very seriously with all my heart. So it's great to do
I know.
What you
yeah,
love.
I definitely know you do. Now, are you still accepting fans on Facebook? Because I always like to tell people how to get in touch with folks that I interview
yes,
on my
yeah.
show.
It's actually, it says Eric Tercio, and then it says the official fan page. So if you click on that one, there's a couple out there, but it's the Eric Tercio official fan page. You can click there and track all of the community stuff I'm doing on Connecticut Style and out in the community raising money for various programs through dancing and TV. So you can track
That's
me down
wonderful.
There.
Yeah, so basically, guys, and if you all of this information is right here on my webpage. So just if you want, just go to Facebook or Google and just type in his name, and you'll be able to connect with him. Well, Eric, thank you so much for joining me. Promise me that you will come back and visit again. Actually, we'd like for you to come back when the show kind of is almost over and getting down sort of to the nitty-gritty. Maybe you can do a really quick analysis and your thoughts on that for us.
Yeah, I'd be happy to that, and I'd love to come back on the show again anytime. It's great to speak to you and to speak to all of your viewers and listeners in your area. So I appreciate
well,
it very
you.
Much.
Thank you so much. Well, that is all the time that we have with Eric, but he said he will come back and visit us. So, Eric, thank you so much for joining us, okay?
All right, thank you.
Thank you very much. And, again, for those of you that listen to the show, I knew that you would like him. Again, Eric is a young man who's out there. He's doing his thing at a very early age. He's a professional dancer. We talked about Dancing with the Stars, and he's on a show called Connecticut Style. So if you live in Connecticut, New York, I'm sure Massachusetts, I'm sure that you may have seen Eric or you know of him. But now the entire United States knows of him, and I think he is going on to very, very, very good things. He's a good young man. In any event, we've got an interview coming up in a couple of weeks with Jewel Green. She is the wife of Daryl Green, and Jewel's got a big function at the Ritz-Carlton in Tyson's Corner right outside of D.C. called Party with a Purpose, where she's donating some proceeds to go to Haiti. And it's kind of a girls' afternoon where there's going to be food, fitness, and fashion. So tickets are available. They're $20, but $25 at the door, I believe. And so if you're in the D.C. area, you want to come out, come and say hi to Jewel and a lot of other NFL stars, and she'll be on the show, I want to say April the 22nd. But in any event, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon on At Home with Victoria. I hope you guys have a great weekend, and also happy Easter.